Welcome, friends. Welcome back to our cast. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, bringing you more fun stuff from VS Live San Francisco, where today I'm going to be talking with Miguel Castro about web controls in ASP.NET. So, hey, this should be interesting and a lot of fun. But first, a comment from a listener who says, I enjoyed your ArcCast with Billy Hollis immensely. It's always a treat to listen to Billy talk about smart client architecture. Well, hey, thanks, Bill. Not just Billy Hollis, but Bill and listener who sent that. I enjoy hearing your comments and keep them coming so that it keeps me kind of pumped up here because that's what I need, all right? So let's listen in today and think about, you know, how could your architecture improve by making use of web controls? Maybe you'll learn something. Let's listen in to Miguel Castro on ArcCast. Miguel Castro. Is that right?
That's correct.
I said it right. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's not too hard, right?
No, it's not that difficult, especially the last name.
Yeah. So, Miguel, tell me about yourself.
I am a consultant, live in the New Jersey area. Consult, wherever I can get the work. Can be anywhere in the country, but I've done a lot of business with companies in the metropolitan area, New York City and New Jersey. I specialize in .NET technologies, either language, really doesn't matter to me. I write for Code Magazine, do articles for Code Magazine. I just recently started writing for DevZone also, a Microsoft-sponsored website. And I joined the INETA Speakers Bureau about 5 months ago or so. So I do a little bit of traveling, talking to a lot of interesting people around the country.
Very cool. And here you are at VS Live, where you are speaking to the crowds about what?
This is my first conference.
Oh,
I'm,
cool.
Hopefully moving into the conference circuit, and this is my my debut conference appearance. And I'm speaking to people about my favorite topic, web control development.
Interesting.
Kind of the area of focus that I've tackled on for the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm. And this is an exciting area now with the ASP.NET 2.0, a lot of new stuff going on there.
It was an exciting area with ASP 1.0 and 1.1. It's extra exciting now, and that's the focus of my talk now is 2.0 enhancements, but it's a great topic either way.
Okay,
it's always been very well received when I've talked about it and written about it.
Now, a lot of people don't really mess around with creating controls, right? They just kind of use the stock controls and go from there. But
that's what makes it a great topic.
Yeah. So, for those who are not really familiar with the web controls idea, what are web controls?
They're server components that render HTML. That's really all they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're server components that render HTML. They bring a design time experience to ASP development that has until recently only been available to Windows developers. So they kind of bring the web world a little closer to the Windows world.
Yeah, so the same kind of thing like in Windows Forms, you can make user controls. It's
exactly.
The same sort of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, so kind of prepackaged functionality that you can throw on your site.
That's correct.
And now, what it changed in .NET 2.0 for controls?
Web
controls?
Not much really changed, but a lot of things were added.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things that took a lot of code in 1.1 don't take a lot of code now. That's going to be a big focus of my talk here is showing how to use some of the new technologies that web control developers have at their disposal now to do things that just took an immense amount of code in the past.
Okay. Well, and that's really been one of the key themes for .NET 2.0 and ASP.NET especially.
The reduction of code. I think nothing demonstrates the reduction of code more than ASP.NET.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So... I'm just wondering, tell me about some of your projects that you've worked on. Where have you done some interesting controls? What kind of controls have you built?
I did some interesting stuff for a company recently in Tokyo.
Oh,
a company called Daiwa High Tech. It's a company that has a very vertical market selling parts for copy machines. Or not copy machines, I'm sorry. Book wrapping machines, wrap books in plastic. It's a company in Tokyo that I got a gig with through a consulting company in Manhattan, and there were a lot of controls that I developed there because I needed a lot of reusability, needed a lot of manageability. Those are the two illity words that I use when I describe why I do what I do with controls.
How does controls help with manageability?
Basically, by providing intense encapsulation, just the ability to you know, you could always manage code. This goes all the way back to standard object-oriented programming. You know, one of the key concepts in OOP is encapsulation, right? And why do we encapsulate? Why do we put things in objects? So we can manage it better. So we can have one point of manageability, you know, one place to go to handle everything that has to do with what that object does. Web controls are really no different. They just bring it to the presentation tier. Mm-hmm. We have one place to go to when we need to, you know, if you want to isolate a certain visual component. An example is the login control that comes with ASP.NET now. You know, it's got everything you need to log in, right? Your labels, your text boxes for username and password, your login button. That's one little self-encapsulated component that does all of that, including the business part of it. If you ever have a problem and you need to, and you know the problem is somewhere in that area, you don't need to go through your entire site or find what page it is or anything. You go to that control. It's, you know, same thing as in standard object-oriented programming. You have a problem with the employee and the employee's not saving correctly, for example, you know, you're going to go to the employee object and find out what's going on in there.
So in your view, like if I'm making a site and I've got, let's say that use the employee as an example. Mm-hmm. So I've got a little, a bunch of text boxes and some combo boxes and other things that, you know, represent the data that I'm going to have for my employee rather than just having, you know, a form with those things on there. You'd suggest that I make a control out of those pieces, then employee piece?
Oh, no, not necessarily. I mean, you got to use good judgment in what you're going to pull out and make controls out of. You know, one of the main decision drivers for this is the reusability aspect of it. Is it something that I'm going to reuse in other pages? More importantly, with the server control world as opposed to user controls, is it something I'm going to reuse in other sites? Because what server controls or web controls, the term is interchangeable, can be compiled and distributed as just DLL components in, you know, regular assemblies. That's the main decision that you're, the main driver to that decision. Am I going to pull this out and make a control out of it? I have done controls in sites where I don't reuse it in another site. I just pull things out and make controls out of it simply for the manageability aspect of it. I want to eliminate the clutter from the web page level.
Okay,
and I may or may not use this in another page, you know. And this is a touchy subject because a lot of people are not in tune with this decision. You know, they think it's maybe a little too much work. But I may have a control that I use in just a single page. But I've decided because of the way my site is laid out that I want to have all the code for this section of the page managed in one central location, and that's where the control comes in. Now, in a case like that, I may actually choose to do a user control instead of a server control because I don't have the reusability needs in that particular, you know, at that particular point.
Okay, so what's the difference between a user control and a server control?
Oh, the magic question.
Ah.
Apples to oranges. They really are two different animals. User controls are basically, you know, in beta 1 of .NET, Microsoft called them pagelets. And my personal opinion is that they should have never changed the term. Pagelets, I think, better describe what they are. They're mini pages. They're essentially web forms without the form tag. They have a designer on them, so you can drag stuff onto them. And, you know, they're great because you can design them. You can do it at design time. You can see what things are going to look like at design time, and then just drag it onto your page. However, the couple of drawbacks there: the reusability is way down outside of that site because the user control has the ASCX file and it has the code behind file. You know, VB or C#, whatever language you choose, and you have to distribute both of those files to another site if you're going to use them. So they're not compilable. They're not as reusable as server controls. They're a little easier to develop. Another part about it is that they have their own life cycle. Their life cycle mimics that of the hosting page, and their life cycle actually starts after a certain point of the ASP.NET life cycle of the hosting page. So if you want to develop user controls and try to treat them like fully blown objects, full blown server controls, add properties and methods to them, and maybe even raise events, you can be opening up a can of worms and a big headache because you may be trying to access the user controls on a page at the code level before their page load, their lifecycle, has even started. And sometimes you may not know what they're going to do to themselves when they render. So there can be a point of dissynchronization there. So I tend to use user controls for simple things that are going to that solve reusability issues within a single site. Something simple, when I don't need too much access of that control from the code behind, when I don't need to change its content dynamically based on property changing. If I have any of those needs, I typically go the server control route. And a server control route is it's code. It's more code. There's no designer for it. So you definitely got to be a coder. You got to like to do it. But it's one of those things where the more you do it, the better you become at it. And you can dish out server controls just as fast as you dish out user controls with the drag and drop paradigm.
So it sounds like then server controls would be, you know, I don't know, kind of interesting widgets, or like maybe if I came up with a really cool grid or tree view sort of thing.
Exactly.
You know, and I could build those and distribute them to people,
sure. Right? Sure.
Okay, I get the picture now. So tell me about some of the server controls you've built then.
I've built quite a few. Today's talk is going to be adding a bunch of 2.0 specific enhancements to an existing control that I wrote a long time ago, which I actually, on Carl Franklin's show, .NET Rocks TV, I actually wrote this control on screen in two different episodes. So you get to see it built from the ground up. And it's this very control that I'm going to be enhancing in today's talk with all 2.0 specific stuff. And it's actually a very, very simple control, but it's become extremely useful. You know, the most useful things really are simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you go to my site, or if you go to any site and you usually have a contact us part of the site, and if you click on that, what do you normally get? You get a little form to fill out to send an email back for tech support or something, right? That's what this control does. It's basically drag it onto a site and poof, you got a little form built in right there where you can fill out your email address, your subject, your body, hit the button, all the email functionality is built into the control. So the page developer really had nothing to do except set a couple of properties, maybe the mail server property, that kind of thing.
So what enhancements are you adding to this control in your talk?
Oh, some really cool stuff.
Okay.
let's see. I'm going over some in order from the least interesting to the most interesting. I'm explaining how control state works. Control state is a different type of state bag aside from view state. I'm describing the differences, and I'm modifying the control to incorporate some control state stuff. I am showing, then I get into more interesting stuff, the visual stuff, which is what you really want to see. I'm showing how to develop smart tags, which are the little doohickeys that we have in the upper right-hand corner of every control now, whether it's web or Windows.
Yeah, those are cool.
They're cool. And, you know, and the purpose of them is to not give you a mimic of every property in your property browser, but basically the most important information. You know, as a control developer, I would put in a smart tag the most immediate properties that I want the page developer to know about that they may need right away to get this control up and running quick. Like in this email contact, for example, what do you need to actually get this email contact control to work? You need to have a mail server property. Without it, it's going to be useless if there's no mail server, right? So the mail server is going to be in the smart tag. I'm going to show you how to develop the smart tags, and they are incredibly easy to do. And that technology can actually be ported right into the Windows control world. So Microsoft's done it the same way in Windows. excuse me. I'm going to show you how to do auto formatting, which is I'm really hoping that the ooh and ah factor, as I like to call it, goes through the roof on this one, because auto formatting is something very popular that we've seen in ASP.NET since the beginning. Yet to code it was a living hell. If you've ever dropped an old-fashioned data grid, notice how we're calling the data grid old-fashioned now?
Yeah.
And VB6 is legacy, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And if you drop a data grid on a form, you got a little auto-format verb at the bottom of the property browser. When you click on it, you get the little pop-up that has a list like elegant 1, colorful 1, 2,
sure.
and 3, simple.
Uh-huh.
You know, in the old days, you had to code all this, the little win form, the drop-down, mimic how the grid is going to look like in a little viewing pane. All of this is done automatically in 2.0 with very little code. It's so easy that I suspect most developers would want to put auto-formatting capability in most of their web controls.
Yeah.
Another thing that I'm going to show is control templates, something we've had in the web control world for a while, how to add templating to controls. Briefly, templating is reserving areas of your control for page developers to later visually enhance, for them to drop more things into your control. An example of that would be a data grid, where you can have bound columns in a data grid or a grid view, and you can have template columns, where the page developer can maybe choose to drop a button on a column in a data grid. That's a template. To have design time capability was a lot of code in 1.1. It is, once again, extremely simple in 2.0. Very, very simple. What else am I showing? Oh, I'm showing callbacks, the famous AJAX functionality.
Yeah.
And it's probably the most complex thing that I'm going to show today. And unfortunately, you know, callbacks is one of those things that you can have an entire talk on it. I think Russ Nemhauser did a talk on Ajax yesterday.
Right.
I'm going to talk about 15 minutes on it, and I'm going to show how it works and how I've integrated it in this control. But it should still be pretty cool. My first article for DevZone just came out, devzone.com, and it's on callbacks, and it's like a brief introduction into how it works and how you can put it into your apps, and it's surprisingly easy.
So what did you do callback-wise with your email control?
The actual emailing. There's no postback that takes place now. When you click on the send button to send the email, uh-huh. You get your failure or sent or success message without a screen flicker of a postback.
It happens within
a callback. Yeah, so there's no, you know, usually that form, that email contact form, is probably surrounded by the rest of your site. So uh-huh. You may not want that to flicker. You may not want that whole page to post back. That's where this power comes in.
And it's not that hard to do.
It really isn't. You know, as surprisingly enough, you know, Ajax seems to have the reputation of being very cryptic, and the APIs have come a long way, but the original Ajax API was difficult to work with, and there's still a number of them out there. But Microsoft's implementation of it is surprisingly easy. You still have to understand it. You have to know a little JavaScript, and you have to understand how it works, how the lifecycle works. But once you get a good foundation of it, it really is not difficult.
After we finish here, you need to send me a link to your article.
Sure.
Where you wrote about that, so that we can post that along with the podcast here, so people who are listening can find it and
absolutely,
you know, go download it and see and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
I mean, that sounds super useful, because I love the, you know, there's something great about the feel of a site that uses Ajax kind of stuff. It just doesn't feel as clunky, you know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly.
It's very, very clean. You just click it. It says, your message was sent, and you're like, yeah.
Yeah, almost too good. Almost to the point where you're like, hey, did something happen, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You wonder, like, should I send it again?
Well, you know, it's going to take some getting used to, even though it's great technology. Like everything else, it takes getting used to. We, excuse me. You know, we're in the web world. I think we've all become very accustomed to seeing pages post back to the server, seeing the flicker, to the point where it's almost trivial. We don't, you know, personally, you want to be intelligent when you design a site, so you minimize that. But not many people make a big deal out of it. Ajax eliminates it. So now, even though it's great, we don't have it anymore. In my opinion, I think it is going to take some getting used to from a user perspective, because, you know, that to me, that flicker told me something just happened.
Yeah.
Now I got something else in the screen that I have to pay attention to make sure that something just happened.
Well, and I think that's going to have an impact on the way we think about designing sites.
Oh, totally.
Because yeah, a lot of people might, you know, click that button, they look away for a second, they look back, and they say, it's still there. It didn't
right.
send it. So they click it again or do something else. You know, you'll get, you know, the classic problem about when people want to purchase something and they click the purchase button three times and, you know, buy it three times or whatever.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, you'll have to think carefully about the UI paradigm there to give people the right clues about something did happen.
That's correct.
Well, I think this whole Ajax thing has a lot of profound implications on the kind of architecture that we're going to build into the site. Does it change much on the server side?
It doesn't change too much. There are just things that you have to understand. You know, a postback has not really taken place. You know, the big misconception is that, well, you know, the page postbacked, but it was invisible to you. You didn't see it. It didn't really post back. I mean, it's more of a new request.
Uh-huh.
So there's certain things that you have to understand, certain things you have to think about. You know, when you do a postback, for example, when the page hits the server again, or the control hits the server, that server code has access to every text box that was on the screen and the value of what the user might have changed that text box too, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you deal with callbacks, ASP.NET callback, 2.0 callbacks, you don't really have access to that because the postback has not taken place. So that's where knowing the JavaScript comes into play. You actually have to write the JavaScript to send the contents of those text boxes into the callback server code. So there are certain things to understand.
So when you do that, you in your JavaScript you assemble some XML out
exactly.
of the text boxes.
Yeah, in the particular example I'm using today, it's not really XML. I wanted to keep it simple, so I just used a delimited format
mm-hmm.
with some control codes for delimitation. But XML would probably be the best choice because you don't have to worry about any delimitation.
Yeah, and so then on your server code, you get this hunk of XML.
And you have to reparse it out.
And you parse it out
exactly.
and do whatever you're going to do.
Exactly. But everything, that, it's all string. It's still string-based.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, but that's, you know, much lighter weight than the full postback, right?
Oh, it's totally much lighter weight, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. And I guess if you did try to, well, you can't really read the value of the text box from that when you're receiving that code, right? I mean, if you tried to...
From the server code, you can't because you don't. Yeah. It hasn't posted.
But if you tried to, would you get, like, an empty text box, and even though maybe on the client side there was something there?
Yeah, or whatever that value was set to before, like the initial value of it or something.
Yeah, so you could get some kind of buggy behavior if somebody did that, right? Okay.
But yeah, it's like a lot of other things. If you don't understand how the technology works, you can just be opening up a can of worms to buggy behavior, as you put it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Well,
and with ASP.NET, it's always touchy because your typical good ASP.NET developer has to understand a multitude of languages, not just C# or VB.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to understand, you know, the HTML is almost trivial at this point, but you have to understand how JavaScript works, how it interacts with HTML as DHTML, right?
Right, right.
And you have to understand these technologies to really and the separation between the server and the client, that's got to be understood.
Yeah.
You know, the stateless nature of ASP.NET.
Right. So yeah, that I mean, a lot of people I think have been saying, "Oh, you know, I'm doing ASP.NET, so I'm going to get away from all that JavaScript stuff and the DHTML." And
you certainly can, but you're not going to have as rich time user experiences as you could with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's too bad that you can just write your C# code and run it on the browser, you know, do it that way. But
yeah, right.
As long as there are many different companies building browsers, we're not going to get there.
Probably not. But you know what? Anything's possible. I mean, we're seeing C# code at SQL Server now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
so
true.
Anything's possible.
Wow. Well, you know, that would be a real handy thing. Okay, so when it comes to, though, Ajax kind of stuff, were there any surprises, any gotchas, you know, that you go, wow, you better watch out for this?
Not yet, and I don't consider myself an Ajax expert.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of the newest, Ajax is not a new technology, it's been around for a while, but because of the buzzword impact of it, it's just become the up-and-coming thing. So I've just recently started learning about it myself, probably in the past 4 or 5 months.
Okay.
I haven't encountered any major gotchas. I've encountered a couple of misconceptions about it, which is one of the things I wrote about in my DevZone article.
Uh-huh.
Because of the fact that it's string-based, meaning, you know, your JavaScript can only pass strings back to the server code, and the server code's only going to pass a string back up to the browser, there's an understanding by some of the users that it's very limited, that the Microsoft implementation of Ajax through its callbacks is very limited because all you can pass up are strings. What they don't realize, and this is one of the things I teach in my article, and I demonstrate it with code, and I'll demonstrate it today, is that, sure, you can pass, all you can pass is strings. That is a very true statement. But think about the ultimate goal of ASP.NET rendering. What is that? It's HTML. HTML is strings.
Mm-hmm.
It's text-based, right? So you could actually pass up complete, you can manipulate server controls in your server code and send back up to the JavaScript after the Ajax call the string representation of the rendering of these server controls. And a lot of time, I mean, I suspect, I haven't torn this code apart yet, but I suspect that's actually what's taken place with Microsoft's grid view, for example. You know, the grid view is Ajax enabled, which means there's a property that you can set called enable page and sort callback. And you set that to true. I think that's what the property is called. You set it to true, and automatically the grid will page and sort using Ajax technology, right?
Yeah, very cool.
And the grid is what's happening is the grid is redrawing itself, but all the code that's being redrawn there, it's the HTML that's being passed up from Ajax. And there are ways. One of the things my article teaches how to do is that there are ways of taking. You know, the power of server controls is that we have this object-oriented way of manipulation at the server side. But now we got to convert this up to a string. Well, you don't have to do that manually. I show you a way using string writers and HTML text writer objects to take those server controls and convert them to what the end result HTML is going to be and pass that up in the string. So essentially what you're doing is you're almost passing the server control objects up through the pipe. You're just passing them as the strings that they will eventually become anyway.
So, you know, the one thought I have about that is that if you're passing strings, then you have to worry about the formatting, the culture, the locale, those kind of things all come into play.
But all those things are set on the server side.
Yeah.
The formatting. You know, when we have a label, let's say, and today one of the things I'm showing is I'm taking a label and I'm applying a style to it. Now, we have a very powerful style object in the server control world, and the style object contains a lot of the familiar properties like font, four-color, back color, you know, bold, strike through, all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
I'm setting a style to a label at the server side using very familiar code to controller page developers. And then I am going to take that label and pull out its HTML. I'm going to figure out what it's going to render as on the browser side, which is going to be a span tag with a style equals and all the, you know, style sheet type of code in there. And that's what I'm going to pass back up in a string. So, yes, we have to be aware of this, but we don't have to. The misconception is that we don't have to build all of this manually. Just because we need to convert this control into a string, there are ways to let ASP.NET do this for us, and we can still be the server-side developers that most of us are.
Okay.
And manipulate things at the server side in a familiar model.
Yeah, so the point is then that if I know that I'm going to send back a string that's going to be rendered by that control, and I'm doing the formatting, I have to go look at that control and see what its format's going to be. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not sure if I understood that.
Well, I mean, if on the label control, it has style like, you know, bold and strike through or whatever, right? And I'm going to render a string for an AJAX callback that's going to be pushed into that control. Do I have to go look at that label control and say, oh, this is the style that needs to be applied, and then stuck when I pass back that string, add that formatting to it?
No. You apply the style to the label at the server side, just like you always have in the past when you were rendering this label using a standard postback.
Okay.
You do that no differently. And then there's code that I use to actually, every control has got something called a render control method, and the render control method receives an HTML text writer object. So I use a string writer and an HTML text writer, a combination of the two, to actually call the render control on this label after I have applied all of its style and values to. So I change the text property, I change the style property, I change whatever I want. In this particular case, I am redrawing this control on the screen based on a success or a failure state.
Okay.
So the text gets changed to success or failure, and the color gets changed to, let's say, red or green.
Oh, gotcha.
And I apply all that at the server side, and then I go through this little bit of code to figure out what the HTML is going to be for that end result, for that final control, how it's going to render, and I send that back up.
Okay, so you're changing the text of a label, and you're going to set the properties on the control and ask it to basically render and hand you the rendered HTML.
No different than what the grid view may be doing. Like I said, I haven't torn Microsoft's code apart yet to see how it's working, but the same thing works with a grid. You know, a grid is just a bigger version of a label. It's a server control. You know, a grid can be remanipulated, resorted, redata bound, whatever you got to do to it. And then you take that grid and through a little bit of code, it's only like 4 or 5 lines, figure out what the end result HTML is going to be. And that becomes a string. And that's what gets passed back up.
Yeah. You know, so I think there's the potential here, though, to build the really very nice, responsive, rich web UIs is huge.
It is massive, absolutely.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that. You know, the kind of things that people do with it. You know, it's just.
Oh, I've seen some really impressive stuff just from some from community guys.
Yeah,
there's a buddy of mine that's out in Maui. A lot of people know him, Rick Strahl. He's a community guy. He's an MVP, and he's done some really, really impressive stuff with AJAX on one of his sites, where he hovers over lines of a grid that are invoice lines. And as he hovers over them, pop-ups come up showing you the invoice details. And what's taken place at that moment in time is at that hovering, an AJAX call has been made to go to the database on the server side, pull up the invoice information, and send it back, and then display it. And the effect is unbelievable.
Wow.
And I've talked to him about it, and he said it was not difficult. I've looked at the code, and it really isn't very complicated, but it's a hell of a showstopper.
And we should get a link for that one, too, posted on here.
Hey, Rick, if you're listening, send it to him.
All right. Well, this is fascinating stuff. I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of cool stuff you come up with in the future. Thanks for stopping by today.
Hey, it's been a pleasure. It's been fun.
Miguel De Castro, ladies and gentlemen, live from VS Live in San Francisco, where we just had a terrific, terrific week meeting with tons of people. You know, one night I stayed there and recorded so late into the night that when I went downstairs to leave, they had like chained up all the doors and I had to find somebody to let me out because we were just going at it so late in the night. But hey, that's what we do. Because we're dedicated here at ArtCast to bring you great, great information. So what do you think? Send me a note to ron.jacobs@microsoft.com and let me know, because I love to hear what you think about the program. What would you like to hear us talk about? Hey, that would be interesting. Why don't you tell me what you think? Because we're all about you at ArtCast.